years have gone by and humanity is steadily declining. Our world is dying. Our connection to each other is dying. We are dying. And we are doing it to ourselves. Mysteriously, the human race has abandoned good morals and ideas that once held our universe together. And now, we have just discovered our enemy. Our intelligence division calls it the Darkness Virus. Our only guide is an intelligence AI called Mother. But are we too late? Are we forced to repeat the future again?
Welcome, team and survivors of the Darkness Virus. You may call me Mother. Welcome, L1. Welcome, the Navi. You have been specifically selected for this mission to transmit information dissemination. Your expertise on subject matters concerning the limited human singularities and the matter of complexity termed the experience of life are of importance. It appears that we have observed the human limited singularities are in a constant cycle of living out the information that they have acquired in their past. The Darkness Virus may be using this repetitive cycle to bring the human singularity into a category of failure which is termed a downward spiral, in order for the members of the Darkness Virus Resistance to comprehend how to achieve living life on their terms. The following information dissemination must be achieved. We have discovered that the limited human singularity is presented to the Matrix in three major complexes. Complex 1, the mind. Complex 2, the body. Complex 3, the spirit. This is termed the mind, body, spirit complex. You will use other past transmissions to assist you on your broadcast. The question has been asked, are the mind/body/spirit complexes of the limited humana singularities functioning within the time-space continuum concept known as the present or functioning within the time-space continuum known as the past? Shields up. You now have a limited time to transmit to the DKV resistance. Remember, you are humanity's last hope.
And welcome once again to, well, you know, we used to call this iRadio a long time ago, and today we call it Become the Source. Because it is within you to be able to become the source, and if you can't find the source, well, you know, you can't find it in a can, that's for sure. And you know who's always listening? You know who's always wanting to know what you're doing? And that's usually El Cuco. Wherever he may be today, El Cuco, we shall get you. Anyway, today we're going to talk about, none other than living your reactions. So before I even give this to L1, because she's going to love to talk about these things, I'm curious, you know, have you been duped? Do you think like you're driving down the road all of a sudden and you think, hey, you know, I got to beep this horn because someone cut me off, or, you know, you get the phone call, you see the little picture of, you know, the devil on the phone. Like, I got a few little devils. I got a green devil, red devil, yellow devil. And when those things go off, I know exactly who it is, and I just react. Well, I don't react. That's because, you know, I'm not like you. So, L1, are we duped or not duped? Here it is. I'm here with L1.
Well, hello, everybody. Good to be back. And are we duped? I would like to say
yes.
I don't think so.
Yes.
I don't think so, or else we wouldn't be having this broadcast. It'd be a very, it'd be like 10 seconds.
You've been duped.
Total.
Really? You serious? You don't think you've been duped?
Okay, we've been duped, but.
You've been duped. You've been given a bunch of crap all your life to go ahead and think that. That, you know, oh yeah, if I did this, you know, I'd get paid off in kindness in the future. And then, you remember the crab on that movie, right? Remember the crab?
The crab?
The crab. Come on, you remember the crab. What was that? The cartoon? I forget. The cartoon with the crab. Shining.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
I remember him.
In there, he says a line like, you know, did you do what your mama told you to do, or living with your heart?
Oh, yeah. And then he said she lied.
She lied. All right. No, seriously.
Okay, yeah.
Let's get to the bottom of this.
So, yeah.
This is not a pessimistic show.
Yeah.
This
I think I actually misunderstood you. I thought you said, can we be saved? I think there's a solution.
What did I say? Can we be saved?
No. I thought you were talking about if we can be, if there's a solution to this. I think there is. Otherwise, we wouldn't. This would be a very short episode.
It'd be like this. And welcome, everybody, to the show. Okay. Goodbye. That's how short the show would be, right?
I think so.
All right. So what's going on with this? What bring this on? And I think that obviously Mother has put this on the table. First of all, and most importantly, why would Mother put this on the table?
Well, I think there's been some observations that people live in their past, living my past, living my reactions. I mean, also, you know, this particular mem jogger touches upon some previous brain snacks and mem joggers that we had earlier back in the season. You know, emotional sabotage, being biased, living a bad memory, nutrients changing your mood, learning how to do mindful interruptions. It's actually all part of learning how to learn, actually. Big key concept.
But that's exactly why I say we've been duped, right? Because you try to eat well and the food's not good, and then you're cranky because the food's not good, right? Mm. And then, you know, you go to school, they teach you a bunch of stuff that can't get you a job. You're cranky when you get out of school, too. During the time you're in school, you're cranky, too, because you're trying to tell a teacher, teacher, I read it on the internet. It's better there. It's, you know, more accurate information, up to date. And they say, shut up, right? So then you get your job and you go, man, why am I working for this guy? This guy doesn't even know what he's doing. I know. Duped. How do those guys get there anyway? I like to know that. Is there a way that we know how they get there?
Oh, you mean a core cause of why people live in their past?
No, I mean how these guys that are so smart that you could do their job better than they can, and they're, you know, your boss.
Oh, well.
Duped.
That's a whole different mem jogger.
But before we begin, let's talk about our wonderful sponsorship, if you don't mind, and then we'll get down to this. We'll make it all nice, won't we, L1? You and I?
As nice as we can.
As nice as we can.
Given the subject. Well, anyway, Become the Source. It's a self-sponsored broadcast assisting you to find your way through life. And you know, this mem jogger also happens to be self-sponsored too. It's actually made possible by the Dynexum Project. Now, you know, the Dynexum Project, it actually helps individuals and social media create multiple streams of income, doing what they do best. And that's promoting their content. Now, for free information, you can visit www.becomethesource.com. And, of course, to listeners of this broadcast, and we thank you all for tuning in today, you can actually get cash back on just about anything that you need or that you want, you know, either from your favorite stores, you can try something new, and you can do this all from the safety of online. Just visit our link, shopping.becomethesource.com. That's shopping, shopping, .becomethesource.com.
Your purchases, did you tell them about Aftermath, by the way?
Oh, yeah, but hold on. The purchases will directly contribute to BTS and all the projects. I got to know that.
Of course. Are you going to give them that old disclaimer, too? Not illegal?
Oh, yeah. Before we talk about our product of the day, our FDA disclaimer, the statements that we say have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration and are for educational purposes only. The products that we do talk about they're not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. We say you always consult with your physician before beginning any diet and exercise program. Okay, there.
You got that out?
Yeah.
All right, good. Now we're all legal stuff?
Yeah, I think so.
All right, people, we love you very much, but you got to educate yourselves, okay? You got to become smarter than what you are. Otherwise, you're going to be right where you are, and the world's going to pass you by. And what's going to happen? What's going to happen? You're going to get duped. You're going to be reliving your reactions rather than living your whatever you want. Am I right about that, Elle?
Yeah.
Right. I don't want to sound crazy. I don't want to sound nuts on this thing, but, you know, just, you know, put my point out there. So what brought this on? What brought this with Mother?
It was a very simple question, and yet it sounded so simple, but, you know, it's kind of like, it brings me back to a math class I took where I was given an equation, 1 + 1 = 2, and then based on conceptual knowledge, I was asked to break it down. I was like, wait a minute, what? I literally had to write a proof of why 1 + 1 = 2. Anyway, so the question is basically, are humans living in the past or the present?
I vote
simple
for humans
question.
Are not living at all.
Well, I think that's because they're living in the past.
Well, of course, you know, it's like that. What was that movie? You mean my movies, right? What was that movie you humans did? The movie called Groundhog Day. Yay! Always living in the past. You had a flat tire yesterday, so today you're gonna go back to that flyer and fix it again, even though it's inflated. And you go, oh, wait a minute, that's supposed to be a flat tire. What's going on? So we got Luna 9 in the booth here. She's just listening in, so she's kind of having fun.
I think
hello,
Lexi
Luna
AI.
9.
Yeah, Lexi AI is on assignment, right?
Yeah, Lexi
AI. And Luna 9 is here. Yay!
She's here.
I guess she was early back from assignment.
Yeah,
all
she
right.
is. I can't wait to the debriefing there. Because
yeah.
So I just think that human beings got a bum rap, right? Let me just put it out there first so we can look at it.
I think the sad part is, and I'm going to let you continue, is that a lot of people think they're just being themselves.
But they are just being themselves. If you only know so much and act so much and you say, I'm only being myself, man. I don't know anything else. Well, it's true, right? So no matter what you are, if you're and if you're right, it doesn't matter what you are. If you're you're always yourself. So that statement for me is like null and void. It just, if it comes out of your mouth, you shouldn't even say it. Because no matter what you are what you are. You know what I'm saying? Know what I'm saying?
Okay. You can only be what you are. Is that what you're saying?
So I really think, right. I mean, it's, you cannot argue with that statement. Hey, man, I'm just being me. I'm like, of course. You're not a ventriloquist. You're not acting like somebody else. Of course you're being you. Duh. Hello. What does that really mean, though? Every time someone says, I'm just being me, you know what I hear? I quit. I have no imagination. I just quit. That's it. I give up. I don't want to learn anything new. And you're going to have to deal with me at my level.
Okay. Well, then here's what I'm going to say.
But hear me out. Because that makes them sound bad. You said I could finish.
Okay.
I'm going to bite you later with the sandwich. So the thing is, you said, I don't want to give humans a bum rap, right? But there's a programming in the background that's running. That's always in the past. And if you're comfortable with that past, you're always going to say, well, that's just me, because you don't have any alternatives, right? But I've known lots of humans that turn around and they go, hey, there's an alternative to do something, and they grow and they grow, you know, into something else, and it takes some time. So it is possible for you to break the pattern. But will you break the pattern is what I'm addressing.
Holy cow, are you the human lover today?
No, not at all. I'm just, you know, hey, you know what? Every now and then I have a little compassionate bone for you dangling things out there.
I think they switched the scripts.
No,
switched the scripts on us?
No, they did not switch the scripts.
Okay.
Humans suck.
Okay.
No, I'm just kidding.
Here's what I'm going to say. And this, I swear,
humans.
No, I'm serious.
I am. All right, let's go serious. I'm down with you on this.
I am. This is going to sound.
Oh, you're
like
going to switch roles?
Lover. No.
You're
going to
switch roles?
Okay, no.
Good. What are you going to do?
I'm going to point out that there's a lot of factors against people here in order to live, you know, for them that, you know, I'd say, you know, I'm going to have to say this, and people are going to probably be like, duh, but you get 99.9% of the time, people are living in the past and they're living reactively. But here's what's up against them. They got past traumas. You know, this could be, you know, this could be something that was a physical trauma, could be a disease, or it could be maybe bullying or abuse. It could be learned associations from the past, you know, perspectives taught to you from outside of you that maybe...
Ah, there you go. You got the cuckoo going.
Ones that don't really serve you anymore.
Get that guy out of your head.
Yeah, and these, I'm talking about like associations that really don't serve you anymore, but because they're comfortable, you're going to keep them. And then you got belief systems, you know, one particularly ones that you don't want to question.
Are you talking like school and family, how they instill certain beliefs? But L, and I am not taking the side of a human being here. I just can't, because you're destroying my planet. So here's my thing, right? Before Nosy comes about. Oh, be quiet, Kuko. He loves this. Boys and girls out there, don't let that guy get into you. So listen, my thing is that you need a certain basic programming, like any other machine, to be able to get on with life, right? So it's going to be wrong anyway, because there's so many varieties. So mountain people act a certain way, right? Even though they don't want to say that, they're like, no, I'm just human.
Fair enough.
You act a certain way. Tropical people act a certain way. You know, and it's because of your environment, right? And that's how you survive your environment, by adapting to it.
Yeah.
The brain doesn't know any better, right? Brain's just dumb. Oh, well, I'll just do this today so I can eat tomorrow. So, and then the human being that's supposed to manage that brain, you know, that spirit, that thing inside there, whatever you want to call that you humans have, you're supposed to be able to drive it. So I don't know if this belief system between school, family, friends, media, entertainment, it's really all that bad. What do you think? Is that really a core bad cause?
I want to say no, but here's the issue. If any of these factors, it could be the belief systems, it could be associations from the past, it could be past traumas, if any of these are having the following effects on you, if they're not serving you, then yes, it's time to re-examine
but isn't that
why
a trap?
You're clinging to the past.
But isn't that a trap? Because you say, if it isn't serving you, for example, let's say somebody just likes to stay home, do nothing, right? Mm-hmm. The world's going to pass you by, technology, the increase in living conditions. What do you call that? Inflation. There you go. All that's going to rise and you're going to miss it and then it's going to consume you later. And you said, hey, you know, hanging out with these friends were serving me because they make me feel good. Hmm. So what do you mean by serving you?
Okay. First of all,
let's talk about
some symptoms here.
All right.
First of all, if you got like debilitating fear of the unknown, you just don't want to face anything in the unknown. But if it's debilitating, if it's preventing you from taking opportunities or expanding on a relationship, that's a problem.
So if you're trying to say, fear not, underdog is here, right?
Yeah.
Right. So in other words, don't fear. You have to overcome your fears.
But most people don't want to overcome their fear. And if it's getting to the point where the fear is debilitating you, keeping you comfortable, then it's a problem. Here's another symptom. If you're taking offense at people who have different perspectives from you just because it's a different perspective, or if you're feeling isolated, like you don't feel like you can connect with people who have different perspectives than you, which, by the way, studies have shown that especially if you want to be in business, connecting with people who have different perspectives is vital for your success. But if you're feeling like, if you feel isolated, like you can't connect, you're offended by them, you're afraid of them, you want to avoid them, that's another problem too. Also, here's something else. And this is actually more long-term. This is kind of sneaky. See, have you ever heard of the 7-year cycle?
I've heard of many 7-year cycles and they're pretty treacherous. Which one do you mean?
Okay. Basically.
Oh, no. You're not going to go. You're talking just basic humans?
Yeah.
Are you talking about the 7-year itch or the 7-year stretch?
The 7-year cycle, where people gravitate or move away towards the same thing. Around, they say, fluctuation, then 3 to 7 years. And they just don't know why.
You're saying that they go back to the same thing?
Yes. But they do it in cycles. Like, they'll go back. Maybe it'll be the tolerance will be too much. They'll break away from it for a while, and then they'll just find themselves just drawn back into it. And, you know, they don't know why.
So I gave a puzzle, like one of these 3D puzzles, to somebody who supposedly was really smart, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we recorded it. And we noticed that every so many patterns, they would repeat the same patterns over and over.
Hmm.
And it would be the same first three patterns. So they do pattern 1, pattern 2, pattern 3, pattern 4, pattern 5, pattern 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and then back to pattern 1, pattern 2, pattern 3, and then they will do pattern 13, and then they skip around trying to do something. I think humans have an innate reaction to going back to what they know because, you know, I don't know, faulty brain?
Yeah.
I mean, is that what you mean, like that, 7 years?
Yeah, it's like, I would say if you're living in your past, you're very likely living very reactively and vice versa. And part of living reactively is just kind of cycling through the same thing. Like, you just like something, but you don't know why. Or you just dislike something and you don't know why.
Yeah,
and you don't even
really
want to bother.
Things.
But it's almost like drifting. You're caught in this current. And you're just like being thrown around from one cycle to the next. And you think it's bad luck.
So,
you know,
the hardest part of everything that you're saying, and I've seen the studies and I've seen these kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
The hardest part that I think is that humans fight to stay the same.
Oh, boy, we're going into core causes now.
I don't see that in your report.
No, that's under core causes. I'm telling you.
But I'm
saying, people love being comfortable.
But I think it's still a symptom because when you talk to someone, they're already fighting you. So the symptom of fighting and arguing and you know, gravitating towards aggression while confronted with, it's a light confrontation. I'm not saying, you know, you're picking on someone, but you just kind of talk to somebody and letting them know, hey, you know, this really doesn't work that way. You know, there's other cultures and other things you can do, and they do it differently. And, no, that's wrong. That's the devil, you know, kind of thing.
Hmm.
So, you know, now Kuko he's just happily there. There he goes again. The Kuko just sits there in your brain and just enjoys that. So I think that's a symptom. I think they have to stop fighting.
Yeah. No, I hear you. Well, that's I know once they do stop fighting, maybe they can address the core causes of why it's like that. Why is that the case, you know?
So, these are the big problems that... Let's give a recap then. You're saying that... Let's see. You're saying that living in reaction, right? Mm-hmm. People do this. And give me a quick recap on the items that are the problems.
Well, you know, you got a lot of factors piled on against people of why they like to live in the past. So the question has been asked, are people living in the present or in the past? I'm thinking the majority of the people are living in the past, but they got a lot of factors against them. Past traumas, learned associations from the past that are no longer serving them, belief systems from the past that are no longer serving them, or ones that they just don't want to question them and say it's because it's easier to follow them. What else? You got some, maybe for trauma, you know, you got abuse, physical trauma. So you got a lot of factors piled up against people.
Like I said, you've been duped, man, because yeah. How do you get out of that mess? I'm like, the failure rate's 98%.
Yeah.
Just about 98%. I got here something that one of our listeners wrote. Let's see. They are living. It's just that we focus more on negative versus positive. And then she goes to saying, when we do that, then we intend to relive the past in the present time. So there's your cycle from one of our listeners.
Wow, there you go.
Yep, there you go.
It goes back to what I was saying when people gravitate towards things.
But hear me out, That listener, right, that wrote that. Love you, listener. Think about it for a minute. If they can identify it, they've experienced it, do you think that by writing this to me right now, they're going to overcome it?
Well,
no.
Completely overcome it?
No. But, the answer is no.
But
tell
seeking
me.
First to understand,
well,
figuring out why this, being aware.
Yeah, but are you going to waste your entire life trying to figure out how to fix this mess? That's what I see with you humans. You spend and then you're ready to die and you want to change things. Why? Why not just change it now? You follow me? I think the system is stacked up against them. That's why that's what I was looking through your report and that's what I found. Yes, no?
Say yeah, there's some odds stacked up against them. That's what I said earlier.
You're always so politically correct. It's so cute. All right, so are there core causes for this that we can identify?
In other words, why is this the case? Why are people living in the past instead of the present?
Yeah. I mean, all the great leaders, you know, that we laughed at while they were doing their great thing, you know, Einstein, Beethoven, everybody, they got laughed at when they were living. And now we go, oh, well, they were the greatest people in the world. I'm like, yeah, now you're talking nice because they're dead. No, you got to talk nice while they're here. So there seems to be a disconnect, right? But all those guys and gals that were, you know, really powerful people that made change always lived with the end in mind, right? So So I'm kind of confused by the dilemma here. Are there core causes for this tragic event in human, you know, existence?
I would say yes. You know, you got three. We'll pick three core causes because the truth is there's actually, you can expand on these and break these up into smaller components. But like I said, that's for our learning how to learn course. But let's talk about three main core causes. There's a lack of understanding coupled with a lack of teaching. And when you say, okay, lack of teaching in what? See, no one is really taught about the structure of the brain.
Well,
in terms of anatomy, chemistry.
And this is true. And they don't teach you in school. So basically you are kind of forced to live a very reactive life.
Well,
right?
they teach it a little bit. Maybe a few things here and there that they mention in science class or fiction books or movies.
See, I think the movies offer a little bit more, but there's such a twist to the whole bad good thing. Otherwise, the movie doesn't sell.
There's a lot of bias.
Yeah, because otherwise you don't buy the movie. If there's no conflict, why would you watch a movie that you're just watching some scientists? Otherwise, it'd be documentary, right? Documentaries would be hot right now on the market. I'd be going to the theater to see documentary on neurons and how they function with your head, right?
Well, more importantly, speaking of, you just hit on another one too. There are people who will come around and say, well, I know about the anatomy of the brain. I know about, you know, brain chemistry. But then there's no connection to another area of study that has to do with the brain, which is the connection to quantum physics.
Oh, I see. So you want to bring quantum physics into the mix.
Oh, yeah.
I thought we were going to keep this like just TB Soul, but you, that's kind of like on the tap side, right?
Yeah, that is. But we can jump into that later.
No, hey, I'm good with that. That's the part I like the best. let me just say real quickly, though, you mentioned that in school they teach these kind of things, but what I've noticed is that they teach antiquated information.
Exactly. Like for, so a few snippets, example, incomplete.
Right. For example, like the orbit of the electron as it flows through, you know, near the nucleus, right? They say, oh, it's a steady orbit at a certain speed. And I think humans have this fascination with fixation. I think that they say, no, it has to be exactly like this or not at all. They can't see variations. They can't see other things, right? Mm-hmm. So three scientists stood apart and go, listen, the reason why our experiments are not coming out the way we expect is because we believe that the orbit around an electron is not fixed. I think it alters. And then in quantum physics, since you're mentioning that, they find out that, no, it isn't fixed, that this scary little electron disappears and reappears, and it has a world and mind of its own. And then that's what you're talking about, quantum physics. So at the very, 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 very small level of how we exist, the pieces that make us who we are, it's not really stable the way we would expect it to be. So when I go to school, they don't teach me that. I have to like learn that on my own. And when I do, I'm faced with other humans, singularities, that are going to contradict me. Oh, no, you're dumb. I don't know where you're getting your ideas from. I'm like, from your top scientist? Yeah. You don't have their paycheck, do you? Step aside. You know, but you have a lot of conflict. And so when you say from school you learn, I'm not sure what you're learning in school. You taught. What do you think? Do they teach you?
Well, you know, I taught a subject that that actually did not directly talk about the anatomy of the brain. Mm-hmm. But I can tell you, when I went to school, there was no brain anatomy classes. There was no brain chemistry classes. We had very basic physics, but that was about it. And they were antiquated ideas. In fact, I remember my parents saying, "Oh yeah, I remember learning about that." I'm like,
"It's embarrassing."
Ugh. I was like, "You remember learning about that?" I'm like, "Oh no."
Yeah, 67 years ago. So we're not really getting the right information. That's
no.
what we're saying.
And
right?
here's that's one core cause there. So lack of teaching. Lack of proper knowledge, okay? Now, okay. Here's another one. This is a big one.
Tell me.
People tend to want to trust rather than understand.
Oh, well, how are you defining trust?
Okay, trust in this case. Unfortunately, trust does not mean that you comprehend or understand something. Trust means that you see a pattern that you don't quite understand, but
understand
the pattern is consistent. So you just say, okay, I trust it. And
so let me reassign.
And this is more particularly aimed towards people who have teachers and mentors and,
right.
you know.
Well, let me reassign a value to that, because I think it's important that, so you have a belief, right? And a belief means you don't really do any work to prove it. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
So that's a belief system. Then trust is the expectation of something. It's you expect it to be a certain thing because the association that you have with that is that it did it before, so it must do it again.
And so on and so on.
Which goes with that idea of fixation that I have. Everything has to be a fixed value.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you saying then? Are you going to get into like solutions with this trust thing? I'd like to know which way you're going to go with before I say anything.
In just a minute.
All right, I'll wait for that. So you're saying what one of the core causes people trust rather than investigate or seek to assume.
Exactly.
Okay, so.
So in other words, because trust also I think is tied with some complacency. And here's the problem.
Are you saying that humans are like lazy?
Well,
they don't want to learn more because it hurts their brain?
People like being comfortable.
Well, I'll
that's
settle.
Another, that's actually
I'll settle
a third
a small
core cause.
Score with you. I'll
oh, yeah?
settle, and yeah, and we can have coffee after this. But there is.
I could
there,
use some coffee today.
So there is some knowledge already stabilized or state it's stable. It is stable, and it is also associated in scientific journals, where it takes a lot of energy for the human brain to operate. It takes, I forgot how many computers, but it's about 100 computers. So I'm saying that if you trust rather than investigate, seek first to understand and investigate and take inventory and do the process of analysis you're supposed to. Number one, you don't have enough time because, you know, society, it's always stealing your time from you, right?
So in other words, the steps you mentioned was critical thinking. So rather than doing critical thinking, which is a lot of work, but you have a lot of odds stacked up against
you. But hang on. Based on what you said, it's easier and cheaper as far as energy goes to just trust because you don't have to burn the cells in your brain. You see little kids, they play, they go to school, they learn something, boom, they fall asleep.
It's true.
Right, and adults too. It's like, man, there's so much work and I have to study so much, I'm just so tired. It's because your brain is burning up a lot of fuel to be able to produce, you know, the chemistry to grow neurons and associative patterns and stuff like that. So I'm thinking it's just a cheap way to, you know, kind of like not do the work.
Hmm.
But they don't know that, right? Maybe.
Well, I think a lot of times people don't know it, but they get the symptoms of what trusting too much happens. Like, the trust usually disintegrates into rebellion or resentment of what you once trusted.
And there they go reacting again.
Yep.
You guys are doomed. It's just so hard when you try to break down how a human being could be more efficient for themselves. I think it's just a difficult thing. The idea of being comfortable seems to supersede the idea of becoming better. Am I getting that right on your end, since you're the human expert?
It would appear so, yeah.
So people would rather what?
Well, people would rather be comfortable. People like being comfortable.
They'd rather stick with, you know, what they have in their minds already.
It's hard work to be open-minded, I'm going to tell you.
So
it's a lot of work.
So here's my analysis on that. People go through pretending they know everything all through their lives, right? And then all of a sudden, one day, they grow, you know, kind of old, kind of tired. They can't fight anymore. And most of them say, you know what? I was wrong. I need to be open-minded. I need to find a better way. But now all their resources have been consumed because they just made enemies with everybody and they threw everything away.
In other words, they learn too late.
And then there's another fight now, just a fight to stay alive, right? So this is what I mean. Do you think humanity has been duped? Or is this a condition which someone didn't teach when they were younger? Or what do you think?
I think this is almost like the chicken or the egg conversation here. Because in a way, you had to learn how to be duped from somewhere.
But you still have to operate on a basic programming language, which you call culture or home or whatever. Mm-hmm. You're still going to get one of those either way. And can you really blame mom and dad for not knowing everything?
You can't.
Right.
And in fact, they say that's the first mistake people make. They start getting, they get so angry at their, you know, at the people they thought that they trusted. And that's why they rebel against them or they resent them.
How about language? Is that a problem?
Big time.
I say green and you say teal.
Oh boy.
Right? And so I'm trying to express something. You get all mad and angry, right?
Yeah. And then you got the person who steps in and says yellow plus blue. It's like, what? Yeah.
So shouldn't language be one of the problems up there?
I think so. One of the core causes.
I want to put that in our report so when you put it on the site, people can read it. What do you think?
I think it's a good idea.
Oh, look at you. You're actually taking notes. You're so studious. Oh, she spelled Kangwich, people. Kangwich. That's a new word for us.
It's language.
I know. So are there any possible solutions? Let's talk about solutions because this is TB So. This is the bright side of life, people. You got to, you know, look up at the sky and say, I shall conquer no matter who I am today.
Absolutely. Well,
And yes, ladies and gentlemen, this is the part where we do solutions. Yes, I'm not going to be so negative with you humans. I'll be black on my planet soon enough.
You know what I like? A lot of these are taken from the Learning How to Learn course, and a lot of these you can expand on. And we'll be here forever if we really had to expand on it. So we're just going to briefly talk about these.
Let's recap on the core causes, right? Lack of understanding, people. Lack of understanding.
And lack of resources and teaching.
And teaching, right? So what else?
People tend to trust rather than understand.
Right, and the idea of being comfortable seems to supersede the intellectual idea that you need to move on. Don't fall asleep. for too long. What's another recap there? Language, right?
You That's mentioned right. Language. Language.
Yeah, you know, don't expect to talk to somebody and fully understand what they're saying. It's really hard. All right, there's so many cultures, so much slang. There's way too much. Try to understand the concept first, probably, and then you can go on, right? So language seems to be one of the core causes also, you know, that keeps that problem in your head. And you know who's going to get a hold of that, right? Yeah, nobody called your name, Cuco. Sit down. You get so excited. So, talk to me. Let's talk about real solutions now. That's what I'm all about.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, what I like about these solutions is that they're going to address some of the symptoms we talked about. So, one particular symptom was when people say they have a tendency to automatically like or dislike something and they just don't know why. But
they got
they
a gut feeling or something?
Seek to understand why you have these tendencies. Now, listen, it's true that it might be intuition, speaking of gut feeling, but you still have the responsibility to seek to understand why.
So
here's why.
Go ahead. Let me know when I can say something. Go ahead. Go for it.
There's a big difference between functional fear and intuition and your biases. Okay.
May I say something, teacher?
Yes.
Can I say something?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm going to say something now. And you got to listen, all right? All right. Here we go. So scientific research has revealed, and I'm going to go with science first, that your heart, for example, has neurons. Neurons? What does that mean? What it's missing is a hippocampus. The hippocampus is your bias towards life. It is your creativity. It is all of these things, but it has neurons. So that means that it functions as a second brain. But it's not going to feel anything from a bias, right? Because you can need the other parts of the brain to do that. And the reptilian brain and all that, how that comes into play later on, you know, as we developed our reptilian brain. And then you got hormones and neuropeptides and all these other things that are produced from the brain. But your heart still thinks. Your nervous system thinks. Your nervous system is not even connected. It's not like connected. You know, it's loosely put together. I'm not talking about your nerves, okay? I'm talking about the cells in your body that are communicating to one another. It's like when you put that little taste in your mouth, right? And you can feel it tingling throughout your entire body. That, you know, that's also could be a little bit on the nerves, but it's also on the immune system. That's what I meant. The immune system communicates constantly. So all of this is knowledge and things that are passing by. So you might get a very cold feeling when you see somebody. And your nervous system is trying to say, hey, I don't speak English. I don't speak Spanish. I don't even speak human. But I know I got to get out of here, right? And, you know, they say I got a gut feeling. Well, your gut also has, you know, there you go, neurons that can actually communicate and stuff like that. So you cannot just, it's kind of hard, right? You have to separate the bias that you have from your hippocampus. Like, well, I just feel that every time I look at this, I just get sick. All right, then get over it. Because, you know, you should use some kind of logic or reasoning to be able to get over that stuff. But pay attention to it. Seek first to understand, just like L1 says. And, you know, just here's the thing, L, about what you said. Hmm. You see a train coming. You see some lights, right? And you know you're in the middle of the road. You're going to seek to understand. You're going to get your gut feeling, get out of there. So you have to have some kind of reasoning component. You have to try it out.
That's functional fear right there.
Exactly. I think that playing games sometimes is very good for this.
Oh, yeah?
Like video games and, you know, little Frogger games. Or, you know, if you want to get into the, you know, military games also. But that also teaches you other things in your brain you don't want. Oh, it's okay to shoot people. No, I'm not. Don't do that. But, you know, play games where, you know, there's a sense of reasoning structure that you have to do. And that keeps your brain going.
You mean like laser tag?
Laser tag,
or
you know.
Play a good game of laser tag.
Or just, there's a lot of other
Battleship.
Games too. Battleship. Yeah, strategic games. It says, this is interesting. And that keeps your brain kind of on the alert side saying, hey, I got to produce more neurons to be there able to reason through dangerous situations and stuff like that. That's what I like games for. I don't play very many, but I know the psychological reasoning behind the negativity games have. It also has a positive side as well. That's kind of what I was thinking about.
So you're saying that practicing strategic games, like playing strategic games, can actually help?
Yeah, it helps because it gives you a sense of balance, understanding, and it tells you, hey, you need to do an action at this time. right? So then you're in a situation, you get a gut feeling, you go, I need to do an action at this time. And you learn to, you know, what should I do? You know, you do obviously what you've been trained to do, what you train yourself to do. So train yourself for life, basically, and use games to help you train for life. Whatever it is you want, find a game. I'm sure it's out there.
Chess is a good one, too.
Chess is very good. It teaches you patience.
It's a classic.
And, yeah, but it teaches you patience and teaches you strategy and teaches you how to wait the other person out.
That's very true.
Yeah, very true.
And then laser tag, that's more like quick reflex strategy.
Quick reflex strategy, stuff like that. Yeah, really nice. Also, there's some art games, you know, if you've got a Vive or, you know, something online where you can draw. And that kind of teaches you correlations to colors, things of that nature. But that also removes a lot of this fictional state of mind of you know, depression, not no self-worth.
Aww.
things that reduce your ability to be more active than reactive, right? And get topics also, you can read also and share, you know, book clubs and stuff like that, read and share with other people, so you get that self-esteem back, right? And then you say, hey, you know what, my opinion matters, and it matters here and it matters there, but do things outside of your comfort zone. That's what I'm saying.
Nice. I like that.
You like that?
Yeah, I do. I like that solution.
Are you actually just like, you know, agreeing with me? You're not just being nice, right?
No, not at all.
Okay.
Now I got another solution.
What do you got?
This has to do not so much with playing games. So that's a great strategy. That's a great solution too. But another one, especially, just practice being open-minded. Now, let me just say, this is for situations where you find out and you understand first that there's no apparent danger. Like, there's nothing that's going to cause functional fear. It's safe, okay? So ask yourself to practice considering another viewpoint or perspective or belief system that you don't agree with or that you find offensive. That's going to be a challenge.
No, I'll go a step further.
Mm-hmm.
Think of the world like a big, delicious, juicy apple pie, or, you know, raspberry pie, or or chocolate cake or something, right? And to make that...
I can tell you're already thinking about coffee.
That's right. And to make that, it takes a lot of ingredients, right?
Oh, yeah.
Right? So you can't just dump sugar in a pot and shake it and get a cake, right? Pretty obvious, right?
Oh, yeah.
All right. So the whole world is full of ingredients, right? And all of these ingredients mean something. Too much sugar, you know, too little milk, not enough eggs, everything falls apart. So when you look at the ingredients of how you cook your life, right, your perspective, try to understand the other people's ingredients and how they cook their lives. Because all of us are a slice of pie in the perspective that, you know, we all occupy the same area. So here's the thing. Here's what gets you over the hump. You go, oh, yeah, I know that, but, you know, still, I just don't like the way he smells, right? So I think that one of the things you can do is you can actually just look at the whole world like a pie. Like, China makes some of our stuff, right? And we use them. We're happy. Some of our electronics. Why them? You know, India is up and coming with a lot of their programmers and stuff like that, right? And a lot of things are moving to India, right? And probably because Americans don't want to do it. I don't know. But, you know, I'm just saying it's moving that direction. So when you look at somebody from that culture, you go, wow, how does your culture actually function? I like to know. Mine functions this way. And I think the biggest problem that people have, humans, is that everything is about me, 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 me. So if I see you cooking with oil, right? Mm-hmm. And let's say, you know, in my diet, I don't cook with oil. I'm immediately going to say, you suck. You're terrible. You're horrible. Because I'm putting myself in those shoes. Don't do that. If you're going to put yourself in their shoes and you have to put yourself in their culture, then you seek first to understand, hey, why do you guys cook with oil? Because I know on our side of the fence, it's, you know, it's not very
fat,
good.
Yeah.
It's high fat stuff. But you guys look like you're doing this forever. You know, how come you guys stay so fit and trim and, you know, you're just sharp and you're a bunch of programmers, you know? I like to know. See, you stay open that way, but from a functional point of view, and I think you'll reduce the bias.
Oh,
because
yeah,
they're functional. So in the whole wide world, everybody contributes to spinning this globe. And the moment you see that, rather than saying, you know, me, me, me all the time, making yourself the victim, I think, you know, you'd appreciate more people and you can be open-minded, because being open-minded doesn't mean you have to become them.
Exactly. Just because it's
uncomfortable. You were waiting for that, weren't you?
Yes, just because.
Just the explosiveness from you. Wow, yes.
You know, listening to another person's perspective, even asking questions of why they think that way, it might be uncomfortable and maybe it's offensive, but it doesn't mean you have to believe it or change it.
But doesn't that come from fear, though? I mean, I'm fearful that the answer you give me means that I have to change.
It might be.
And I'm too lazy to change, so I don't want to do it. I don't want to hear it.
Well, I think honestly it's only because the brain is not trained. I think the more somebody listens to an opposing perspective, even ones that they don't agree with, their brain has less anxiety about listening to it.
All right, but we're saying practice being open-minded. We went over some ideas of why people maybe are not open-minded, what their fears are, stuff like that. But the bottom line is practice being open-minded. No one's going to steal you from your home by being open-minded.
Nope, not at all.
Those days are over, right? Where you know, the whole Salem's Lot thing, that's over, right?
Oh, yeah, I'm pretty sure it's over.
All right, well, if that's over, you're safe. Go out there and practice being open-minded. Hello, friend. Yes, I am an open-minded individual. How do you do today? And what is it that you're doing? Oh, yes, that's delightful. I absolutely love it. You know? What do you think?
Oh, I like it.
Would I pass as a common human, you think?
Not with that accent.
Not with that accent, okay.
Not in some places.
So what else? What else can we say out there?
I want to bring this next solution up. It's practicing mindful interruptions. We actually had a whole SO Life brain snacks about it. But basically, when your initial reaction is to be offended or to automatically contradict someone,
that's not true. I'm kidding.
Or to become, to dislike something. Why not practice what we call a mindful interruption, where you're basically stopping your brain from going off on a tangent of a habit that you don't wish to have anymore. So what do I mean by a mindful interruption? Think of a song. Do a dance. I know it sounds crazy, a gesture, a physical gesture, like take a deep breath in and out or whistle. Picture something funny in your head. You don't have to say it out loud, but picture it. Or say a meaningful word or quote in your mind, or count to 10. But some kind of meaningful interruption that is going to, because the goal there is to stop your brain from following so many reactive routines.
Can you give me an example of that? Because for me, it's I'm not from here. You know, my stars are not in alignment just yet.
I actually do got one, and it was actually for one of my former students.
Is this a personal one? Like, you know, you were there kind of?
Yeah, it was from one of my former students. He actually, he had a tendency to run his mouth. He was a very intelligent kid.
Not talking about me, are you?
No.
Okay.
He was a very intelligent kid, but he had a tendency that when he was, you know, verbally bullied, he would keep running his mouth to the point where teachers and, you know, principals who would listen would say, well, it sounds like you provoked him just as much as he provoked you. And so he could never one-up his bullies. So one day, someone said something to him, and I hear him say the words, bobbity-obbity. I was
bobbity-obbity?
Like, yeah, I'm like, excuse me? And he was saying it throughout a couple times in a row, and I'm like, and I never directly asked him, but I figured out what he was doing. He was basically trying to find a way to stop himself from saying too much, so that not only could he overcome the bullies, because these were the types of bullies that they liked getting him upset. They wanted him to get into an argument. They wanted him to get into an argument with them. And the more he cut himself off, I'm not saying that he completely, you know, cured himself of being bullied, but it was reduced to the point where he seemed happier, or at least, you know, less aggravated. Because he was, like I said, he was a pretty smart kid. He was just distracted because he was just giving in so much to being verbally bullied. And, you know, he would defend himself. You know, he would still defend himself.
How would he defend himself?
Well, you know, it was, luckily for him, it wasn't physical bullying. So he would, you know, say a couple of witty things. I just want to say that word, witty.
So he was witty? That sounds pretty cool.
But then before it escalated too much, I'd hear him mutter like, bobbity-obbity. And he would just like turn around and walk away. I'm like, okay.
So Are you singing Babidi Abidi lately?
No. Me?
Yeah.
No.
Babidi Abidi?
I just remember it because it was the weirdest phrase. I'd never heard that phrase in my life.
Until you actually asked him about Babidi Abidi?
No, I didn't. But I asked another teacher because he was not the type of person who was open to tell everybody, oh yeah, everybody, I'm saying Babidi Abidi so that I don't have to, you know, continue arguing with this person. No, he wasn't that self-aware. But I think somebody told him, someone he trusted, told him.
All right, boys and girls, I want you to say Babidi Abidi with Become the Source. Ready? 1, 2, 3, Babidi Abidi. There you go.
It's kind of
cool, right?
Yeah.
I like it, Babidi Abidi.
So I asked another teacher, I'm like, why is he saying that? And he came up, he's like, I think he's doing it. And he gave me his theory, and I think he was right.
So all of you are basing this off a theory?
Yeah.
Wow, man. If he would have been on social media, he probably would have, 5 million viewers trying to figure it out. If you guys know what Babidi Abidi means, please let us know. I would really love to know. So you can send it to aftermath@becomesource.com or comment down below what you think Babidi Abidi is. That sounds kind of cool.
I think it got from the name Bob.
That's probably Bob was the worst bully there. Babidi Abidi.
Well, no, there was no bully named Bob.
No?
But maybe Bob was his friend.
Maybe. Who knows? That's kind of a cool... Thank you for the story. I kind of like the story. So let's recap real quick some solutions. These are real solutions, though, ladies and germs. And these are things that you really should kind of practice. And about these things, right? One thing leads to another. You're going to, for example, try to seek to understand. And then you're going to have 1,000 more questions. But here's the thing, right? Rather than having 1,000 more questions that are aggressive, you can just start a conversation with somebody and get to know them. You go, wow, I never thought of it that way. And a lot of times, you waste 30 years of your life, 40 years of your life, 50 years, maybe even more. And then you turn around and you go, man, if I just would have asked that stupid question.
Oh, yeah.
If I would have just had that one conversation, all would this be over and I won't have to suffer so much, right?
Yeah.
Right. So, these little practices, they're going to lead you into a wonderful world of figuring out how to make life, have it the bright side of life. L1, give us a recap, please.
So let's.
I love your recaps. You ever notice how we tell you to recap?
Yeah.
I love it. Babidi Abidi.
Oh, boy. So let's look at seeking first to understand. That's the first solution. When you automatically have a tendency to automatically like or dislike something or someone or a place or a word, a sound, whatever it is, if you automatically like or dislike something and you don't know why, and if it isn't a functional danger to you, then it's your job to seek first to understand why you feel that way. Now, believe it or not, playing strategic games like chess or laser tag or even art games, those are ways to actually kind of train your brain to pause and think.
Learning strategies. Disciplines.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, for some reason, I always find that people who seek first to understand also have a tendency to be strategic and also have a tendency to like strategic games.
And you open up a very large library inside your mind, right, and brain, whatever you want to call it. Where you build a library, because if you're seeking to understand, you're going to categorize all that knowledge somewhere. So next time you bump into something that looks familiar, you go, hey, I might know something about this, or you might know how to act a little differently, and you come out winning.
Exactly. Exactly.
So you mentioned something about practicing mindful interruptions.
Yeah, that's another solution. Yeah, practicing mindful interruptions. So basically, whenever you have an initial reaction to be offended or to automatically, like or dislike something, maybe thinking of a mindful disruption like a song, a silly word, a gesture, a sound, like a certain whistle in your, making a... I know a couple of people who do whistles. They do a whistle out loud, picturing something funny or maybe saying something that's meaningful to you, like a meaningful quote or a word. That can actually, be a great way to stop your brain from going off on a reactive tangent. And then another solution, practice being open-minded. Just stop and listen to somebody who has a different perspective, especially one you don't agree with. just listen. Doesn't mean you have to change your view. Doesn't mean that you're wrong.
I don't agree with L1 all the time. Almost never. But I always listen.
Yeah.
And when she's right, I just do it. It's easy. I'm lazy. Thank you so much. So that kind of wraps up our session today, right, for our TV Soul episode, our Mem Jogger.
I say so, yeah.
Yeah, so
our SO life.
Basically, living my reactions. Let's recap on that title. Either way, you're going to live your reactions, I think. I think the reaction is a subroutine or a shortcut to the way the brain thinks that you're going to get the quickest result with the least amount of energy wasted on your brain. And also, it's going to be the safest route that you know how to do. So no matter what you say or what you do, you're going to end up living, you know, your reaction. So by using these shortcuts or these ideas and understanding where, first of all, understanding the value, where your actions are going to take you somewhere. And is that somewhere really where you want to go? Have you been there? You know, have you gotten to the point of success using those reactions? If the answer is no, then those are some solutions that you can try, practice for a few months, and then you'll start seeing that your library starts to expand. And then your natural reaction is going to seek first to understand. And because you have a larger library, you're going to say, oh yeah, well, I totally understand that because I'm open-minded and, you know, I had some conversations with some people and I understand that now. The other person would say, you're not offended? I go, no, not at all. I understand. I do understand that I have a situation in my life that, I'm practicing to do X, Y, Z. It's kind of different than yours, but I accept you for who you are, man. You know, we're the same pie, the same chocolate cake in this big world called humanity.
Sounds like you're thinking of coffee again.
I am going to go for coffee after this. You in for coffee?
I think so.
I'm in for coffee. Well, that's it, ladies and gentlemen, ladies and germs. Any last resolves that you want to throw out there?
Well, I would say, if anybody wants to share their own solutions or have questions about what we offered, or, please feel free to email us at aftermath@becomethesource.com. Isn't that right?
That is right. We'll send you all the information that you need to get from point A to point B. That's about it. Well, this has been the transmission here for TB Soul from, Become the Source. I hope you enjoy your life. And remember, you are humanity's last hope. L1.
This is L1 signing off. And remember to, may you become the Source.